Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Look at this. Everything is on fire.
5, 6, 8, 10 houses in our neighborhood just gone like that.
Never seen anything like this. Oh my gosh.
Everybody's trying to get out.
I'm driving through a war zone right now, and I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless. I'm shocked.
Damn, bro. Damn.
Yeah, some of the reaction from folks either taking video or walking back into their neighborhoods or just being utterly confused by the devastation and the continued, you know, burning of houses just to the ground out there in Los Angeles and Los Angeles County. Now, we're going to have Dave Murray on a little bit later, Sue. After Sue's news, we have Ilya Shapiro coming up as well from the Manhattan Institute on some Supreme Court stuff. They have a hearing tomorrow on TikTok, and we're going to talk about that. And he's got some thoughts on masking, not the same type that we used during COVID, but he wrote a piece on how we should probably ban some of the masks out there because you got the bad guys that are trying to cover up their faces when doing nefarious things. But this is just something that happened, I think, a short time ago. This is a woman who ran up to Gavin Newsom on the street, I think in Pacific Palisades, basically saying, hey, what are you doing for us?
Governor, you got a second? Governor, I live here, Governor. That was my daughter's school, Governor. Please tell me what you're going to do. I'm not going to hurt him, I promise.
So she tracks him down to his car where he's on the phone.
To specifically answer the question of what we can do for you and your daughter.
Can I hear it? Can I hear your call? Because I don't believe it.
I'm sorry. I've tried 5 times. That's why I'm walking around to make the call.
Is the problem? All right. So basically what's happening there is he says he's trying to call the president. And he can't get the signal out, right?
I'm not taking your call.
Because it's not going through. So
why?
I have to get cell service.
So let's get it. Let's get it. I want to be here when you call the president.
I appreciate it. I'm doing that right now. And it's to immediately get reimbursements, individual assistance, and to help you. I'm devastated for you. I'm so sorry, especially for your daughter. I have 4 kids losing
the school. Everyone who went to school there, they lost their homes. They lost 2 homes because they were living in one and building another. Governor, please tell me, what are you going to do with the president right now?
We're getting the resources to help rebuild.
Why was there no water in the hydrants, Governor?
That's all literally.
Is it going to be different next time?
It has to be. Has to be. Of course.
What are you going to do?
I'm doing
everything. To fill the hydrants. I would fill them up personally. You know that.
I literally have.
I would fill up the hydrants myself.
I understand.
But would you do that?
She's not stopping.
I can't.
But you're not. I see the. Do you know there's water dripping over there, Governor? There's water coming out there. You can use it.
I appreciate it. I'm going to make the call to address everything I can right now, including making sure people
are
safe.
I'd like to make sure you do. Can I have an opportunity to at least tell people you're doing what you're saying you're doing?
Thank you.
Could somebody have a contact? Can I have your contact?
Yeah, that didn't go very well, but they tried to usher out. He was trying to stay calm because he knew that he was on audio and video, but this is some of the back and forth that we've heard from the California, you know, governor with the future president and the former president, Donald Trump. So Trump takes a jab at him.
The governor has not done a good job. With that being said, I got along well with him when he was governor. We worked together very well, and we would work together. I guess it looks like we're going to be the one having to rebuild it.
Remember, didn't he say, like, during the whole thing, Trump was always saying kind of nice things about Newsom, you know, during the campaign, and Newsom would repeat that as well, but not so nice anymore, and then Newsom rips him.
What is the situation with the water?
Local folks are trying to figure that out. I mean, just when you have a system that's not dissimilar to what we've seen in other extraordinarily large-scale fires. I mean, those hydrants are typical for two or three fires, maybe one fire. You have something at this scale.
But the president-elect chose to attack you, blame you for this.
It's one can't even respond to it. I mean, it's...
Well, yeah, you can.
You know, people are literally fleeing. People have lost their lives. Kids... lost their schools, families completely torn asunder, churches burned down. This guy wanted to politicize it.
Well, but what Anderson Cooper should have said, because Anderson basically just fed him the answer.
Sure.
Oh, he's trying to politicize it. Anderson said, but Governor, how about some of the things that you did? Why was the budget cut in Los Angeles? Some of this is on Karen Bass, not necessarily Newsom. And on the topic of Karen Bass, you know, she's in Ghana. She comes back when the city is on fire. And then check this out here.
Right now, if you need help, emergency information, resources, and shelter is available. All of this can be found at URL.
Are you serious? Yeah.
She doesn't even know what she's saying.
Oh, my gosh.
She doesn't even know what she's saying.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
She's an idiot. I mean, it's clearly to become a mayor in one of America's
shocking,
cities like St. Louis or Los Angeles, you have to be a complete idiot.
Go to URL? I don't even know what to say. That's insane. She has no contact with reality.
No, she doesn't have any contact with reality. People are pissed, though. So we're going to see where this takes us. And I mentioned, you know, in 2014, this is on Newsom. I'd like to find out more about Prop 1. 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago now, they voted this Proposition 1, which directed billions of dollars for infrastructure, for water, and, you know, to put water in reservoirs. Nothing's happened. They haven't built one. Meantime, they're building choo-choo trains out there at a cost of $3 billion plus with their light rail, the high-speed rail. How is that helping people who don't have houses right now, right?
Not at all.
A big pie-in-the-sky boondoggle. You know, think of Metrolink here in St. Louis in times 100 or 1,000 because that's how big of a monstrosity that is in California. And it's not going to end up helping anybody. I mean, they're devastated out there. And I know it's not the entire region. There's 8 million, whatever, 10 million, 12 million people out there. If you've ever flown into L.A., the houses just go on forever and ever and ever. So it's not like the entire area is devastated. But this is pretty widespread. And in a way that we've never seen this before in an American city, certainly from wildfires. We've seen devastation. We've seen Lahaina, but nothing along these lines. And we're going to continue to cover it with Dave Murray. And then we got Sue Snow on the way tomorrow, too. Or tonight.
Yeah, it's
so
tonight.
What are we're going to find out from Dave, but I'm hearing maybe just an inch or two. But the snow line seemingly grows as you're a little further south. Fred was hoping that was not going to mean South County, and I don't think it does. But if you're further south to where they got ice last week, they're going to get snow.
That's great.
Yeah,
all of it's great.
They're not. The damn kids aren't going to have school tomorrow, right?
I don't know. I guess not because, you know, on the unplowed areas, this will be up to 2 inches on top of ice.
So, Becky, I had to go to get my car serviced today, and that took me an hour just to get to Olive from where I live, and that was a pain in the ass. But Becky took Alexa to school because the buses weren't coming in the neighborhoods, and I usually take her anyway. And that was a cluster with all these parents because the roads are still a little snow-packed by the school, and you had long lines of parents, so... It was not easy to, you know, I give Rockwood credit for opening the schools again, but again, they're probably going to have to close it back up tomorrow. I know my daughter's already rooting for that. Let's do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I first would like to say that we have no water at my house because a water main break happened across the street. You know how you see flashing lights out of the side of your eye and you think, oh, that's nice, that's going by. But it kept happening. So I look out the window and sure enough, last night there's bubbling water just like the bubbling crude from the Beverly Hillbillies coming out and rolling down the street. I mean, it's across the street. We're thinking, oh, it's just going to be a slick of ice.
Right.
And they came and taped it off. And then this morning, the trucks rolled in. And it's still bubbling. And I went to talk to the guy in the truck. And he said, This is the main for the whole street, and we have the new pipe here. We just have to dig in and find out whether the whole pipe needs replacing or whether we can just kind of bind this one up. And it could be 4 to 8 hours, depending on. So I texted my neighbor across the street. I said, Nancy, do you know about this? And she's like, I ran a bucket of water. And I thought, I don't know what for, but I'm going to get a bucket of water. So I got a bucket of water. Then I put little, you know, things of water all around. Because what if it does go for 8 hours or weird happens? And I thought, I have no idea what I'm going to do with this bucket of water. And then I had to go to the bathroom. And I thought, ta-da. So when you flush, then I have a bucket of water and I dump that in the tank.
You can't do that. Yeah.
So I didn't think of it. Shout out to neighbor Nancy.
Well, and you know what? I hope you get your water back on first and foremost. These poor guys, and maybe women too, not to be sexist, have to work outside and do this stuff.
And I had a talk with that guy, and he's like, you know what? There's nothing we can do. And this time of year is when they start to break.
Right.
Because it's so cold. So he said, just hang with us. But water... On this day, it was 17 degrees when I was talking to him. He said, usually it has to get to 19 before they'll let us really start to work.
Well, and the only good thing about today is that there was a lot of sunshine and it felt warm. Like I parked the car in the driveway instead of the garage. And when I thought I was going to have to start it, it was pretty warm because it was sitting in the sun. So I think the reason I bring that up is that we're getting meltage.
Yes.
Is that a word, meltage?
Well, it is.
I think it is.
Now.
It is now. But I think we're getting a little bit of relief just in time for more snow tomorrow. And I saw a lot of crews on, you know, I was on 270 and 44 today. Saw a lot of crews trying to clear off the shoulders, if you will.
Good.
Essentially to prepare for more snow.
There's still some ice I can't get off my driveway.
Probably me too.
A quarter of my driveway. It's
Did
just
you guys put
so
the
hard.
Salt on it, or is it just
You
beyond?
Know what, though, Fred? It would have, because right before I left today, and I left probably around 1 o'clock, it was slushy enough where you could have cleared my driveway off. I just didn't have time. But by the time you get home tonight, it's going to be refrozen again.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. On this day in history, we got a little music, Mark. 41 years ago today, in 1984, Van Halen released their sixth album, baby.
That was on this day?
Woo, yep. 41 years ago, and the album itself, the sixth album, was called 1984. Jump, Panama, I'll Wait, Hot for Teacher, all of that on this album.
That was a big one.
Yeah, it was huge. And then, this is bizarre to think about. 18 years ago today, just 18 years, in 2007, Steve Jobs unveiled the iPhone. Doesn't it seem like we've had it forever? It was only, the iPhone is only 18 years old.
That really is amazing.
It is.
What did we do before that? I mean,
flip
blackberries
and blackberries.
Some people have blackberries. We have flip phones.
I had a candy bar phone. You know,
I can't really even envision the phone that I might have had right before the iPhone.
I can't either. I had one for a while that you pressed the sides and a little beep popped up, a little screen popped up, but there was nothing you could do on it but see numbers that you dialed.
Yeah, some fancy people had those bag phones.
Oh, the bag phones.
Like, and news reporters would
I had that, but that was like mid-90s is when I had that. But and you know, then I made the mistake, like when the iPhone, the thing about the iPhone, and I know that people went through BlackBerries and different phones, but those phones weren't always easy to figure out how to use.
No,
right?
And they had teeny, tiny little keys.
So the iPhone was so easy.
Yeah, you're right.
It was
you're
expensive, but it was so easy to learn how to use it.
You're right. That was kind of the genius of the whole thing. An annual study found traffic cost the average commuter about 43 hours of their life last year. And they've got the top 10 cities with the worst traffic. What would you think the top three are, Fred?
Dallas, New York, and L.A.
It's Los Angeles at number three.
I'm going to go Houston. I'm going to put Houston in there.
L.A. at number three. Number two is Chicago. Number one, New York. Those people spent 102 hours sitting around in traffic.
That does
it's
make
hideous.
Sense.
What's bigger, Houston or Dallas?
I think Houston
at this
point.
Right? Yeah.
I believe it's the
I just
number
know my,
four.
My son talked about the traffic down there is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And that reminded me, then I found another story about Vietnam. Vietnam is paying people to report bad drivers. So if you see somebody there, you could get up
I'll take
to
that gig.
You could get up to $200 a pop If you see somebody in Vietnam texting and driving or running a red light, you can report them, and then they give you 10% of whatever the fine was.
Didn't you see somebody?
How about that?
Yeah, like yesterday in downtown, just run through a red light. Mart, when you were on your way here to work,
you do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So you could get 10% of their fine, which I thought was kind of wow. The maximum payout is just under $200, or technically 5 million dong. That's the national currency of Vietnam.
Thank you for translating it, for sure.
Yeah, sure.
You can never have enough dong, is what I say, Sue. I don't know.
Do you? Yeah, it's a mantra. And Meta, the company that owns Facebook, Instagram, Threads, WhatsApp, has announced that it will allow eBay listings to appear on Facebook Marketplace. Now, this is huge.
That is big.
Yeah.
Right? This is a really big deal. And just this news alone drove eBay stock up by 9% yesterday. They're going to test it out in the U.S. and France and Germany. This should help eBay because they've had so much competition since Facebook and anything online has really come around.
Yeah, because
Walmart.com.
The default
Amazon.
For me, and it used to be eBay, and even for selling things, we've gone through periods. My wife's really good at this where she sold years ago a lot of stuff on eBay, but it's Facebook Marketplace where people find stuff these days.
I know. It's a thing. And since it's already this time, we'll do today's random fact. Eleanor Roosevelt. Sorry.
There was some interesting timing there.
That was bizarre, wasn't it? Eleanor Roosevelt refused to let a Secret Service member travel with her when she was First Lady. She just carried a pistol. And that's it for Sue's News. How about that?
I like that a lot. Uh-huh. We need to go back to that, maybe. I like that. All right, Ilya Shapiro's coming up. We got an interesting TikTok hearing at the Supreme Court. He's got some ideas on masking, not the COVID type of masking. We'll get to that. Dave Murray at 4:45.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Murray at 4:45, the very latest, not only on some more snow heading to St. Louis, but the fires in Los Angeles. In the next hour, coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, David Strom from HotAir.com. Wait till you hear the piece that Dave wrote about the snail darter, which is something that they tried to protect in California. From destruction. Here's a slight problem. The snail darter apparently never even existed. Like, the species didn't exist. And we'll talk about that coming up in the next hour. Our friend Ilya Shapiro is back with us. He's the director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. There's a couple of things happening with the Supreme Court. And then he wrote an interesting piece on masking, not the COVID type, a little different. Ilya, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well.
Let me start before I get to the masking topic, which I love, but talk about the hearing on TikTok and what's going on. Is that something going on tomorrow at the Supreme Court?
Yes, this is an expedited briefing and argument at the Supreme Court tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. Eastern on the constitutionality of the bill that forces the divestiture of TikTok from its Chinese parent company. And if they don't divest, then they can't operate in the U.S. And the argument challenging it is that this is a free speech violation. I support the government here, frankly.
Yeah.
I think it's a national security concern. And if an American buyer took over TikTok, it could operate in exactly the same way. So I don't think it's a free speech concern.
So is there a way to gauge how they may handle that tomorrow?
I mean, we'll see. The lower courts, with judges appointed by presidents of different parties, have all ruled for the government in favor of the constitutionality of this bipartisan legislation. But we'll see from argument. Everybody's going to be focused on the, as always, on the middle triumvirate of Roberts, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, and we'll just have to see how it goes.
So the other thing before the court, isn't Trump asking the Supremes to block the hush money sentencing from Mershon?
He is. And unclear on what basis, because there's no presidential immunity, I don't think, involved there. They've already turned down an appeal on the substance, as far as I know. And Marchand has indicated that he's not going to sentence Trump to even probation or anything like that. So it's going to be a nominative punishment, as it were. So I doubt the Supreme Court is going to want to get involved here.
Let's talk about your piece that was in the Free Press on masking, because this is something we've seen. I mean, if you watch some of the videos from, not this week in Los Angeles with the fires, but some of the mass looting and things that have gone on with the crazy shopping center videos that we've seen, a lot of these people are wearing masks. We've seen it here in St. Louis, and they're not wearing masks to protect themselves from COVID. They're wearing masks, Ilya, to not be identified on cameras, right?
Yeah, in this day and age, outside of a very tiny minority of people who wear masks for occupational or health or religious purposes, almost everybody who is wearing a mask is doing it for no good reason, whether they're robbing a store, intimidating people, or some other nefarious purpose to commit a crime and not be identified.
So you when you wrote about this, we've had some terrible things happen on the subways in New York. Someone was set on fire. You had the situation where a man was thrown in front of an oncoming subway train. And Ilya, I've seen some, you know, videos and pictures of people on the subway where they're not standing close to the tracks anymore because they're afraid of something like that happening. But you quote a guy by the name of Richie Torres, who's a Democrat congressman from the Bronx, and he said this. He said, wearing a mask for the purpose of committing crimes against innocent New Yorkers, for the purpose of intimidating and harassing Jewish students on college campuses, should be strictly prohibited by state law. So that's something you think would have an effect. And this is what's interesting to me. There's precedent here for banning masking, right?
Yeah, it's like more than century-old laws to go after the KKK. That the purpose of wearing a mask is to intimidate, and that's not appropriate. It's to intimidate or to conceal your identity while you're committing a crime. So there's, you know, I've come up with colleagues at the Manhattan Institute with model legislation that can be implemented. Different states have it. A variety of states, blue, red, north, south, east, west. New York had the oldest anti-masking law in the country, but repealed it during COVID, and there's been some hesitance to bring it back. And yet, part of the reasons why vandals and assaulters and all these people, whether with respect to the pro-Hamas protests or anything else, why they are increasingly not prosecuted is because in New York City, the prosecutors say we have a hard time finding who it is exactly because they're all masked. And not all of the masking is, you know, it's not a panacea. Pushing people in front of a subway, not all those people are masked. But it's my colleagues at the Manhattan Institute have been doing a lot of work on the kind of part and parcel of the lawlessness and disorder. And certainly an anti-masking measure would contribute to pushing back on that.
So would it, when you would model any kind of statute or legislation like that, would it have to be very nuanced? You even admit in your piece, Ilya, you're a free speech guy, and that there would be people probably flagging something like this for infringing on free expression, right?
Well, you don't have a right to be out in public anonymously. You have a right to write anonymously using a pseudonym and things like this. Judges are very good and do all the time evaluate claims of religious objections to things for sincerity. They don't evaluate religious doctrine, but for sincerity. And so they can similarly look at these people and say, you know, do you have a bona fide health or religious or occupational reason for wearing this mask? Or are you doing it literally for no good reason, that is to prevent identification while you are engaged in unlawful intimidation, harassment, vandalism, assault, etc.?
Would that type of situation be a municipality only, or could it be a statewide law or a federal law, or is it just something that would have to
all,
be?
All of the above. So okay. Cities do have their own bylaws. I think it's one of the counties on Long Island. I forget whether it's Suffolk or Nassau passed a law this past summer and has prosecuted people with it and, you know, stopped them and arrested them for wearing masks and found guns and knives and things like this. So it's worked there. But at the state level, you know, lots of states have them. All of the above is the answer.
There's a lot of focus that this show has on the Free Press today. And let me just ask you, did you read the piece by, and I'm not sure if it's Margie or Margie Conklin, on the Facebook fact checkers situation?
Yes.
Yeah, it was excellent. I just kind of ran that down before the top of the hour. And, you know, it's interesting. I'd love your perspective on that because she really explains extremely well what happened several years ago. She's a New York Post reporter who wrote about maybe a Wuhan lab leak and then all of a sudden discovered that the story was being spiked by, you know, Facebook, et cetera. And that became alarming. And obviously states like Missouri got involved with some suits that went before the Supremes. And the free speech case on that side of the equation is pretty interesting. And I loved her column. And I loved what Mark Zuckerberg finally did, Ilya, but I think you'd probably realize if it was Kamala, I don't know that he would have done it, right?
That's right. I mean, CEOs respond to political wins and to the incentives that they face. So I don't think, you know, Mark Zuckerberg in his heart of hearts really cares one way or another, frankly. He just wants to make money and gain influence and have Facebook be an important player in the cultural landscape. And he sees now that the movement is towards the non-censorship and not policing so-called misinformation and what have you. But yeah, the role of fact checkers in general, and then in the context of Facebook or social media, has been a disturbing turn in the last decade or so.
Well, and that one in particular, she points out that the expert, the so-called expert that was advising Facebook to censor the piece, was someone who had worked with researchers at Wuhan. So wasn't that convenient? Do you, Ilya Shapiro, have any kind of connections to Los Angeles and what's happening out there? Any family or anything?
No, I mean, obviously, I've been there many times, and I'm due to be out there in less than a month, frankly. My hotel that I booked is in Sherman Oaks, which apparently is okay, but it's right on the edge of that area, one of those Palisades areas that's up in flames. So, I know exactly where this is all going on. I have friends around there, and it frustrates me that, wildfires happen all the time. This is not a new, climate change phenomenon, and it frustrates me that lawmakers at the municipal and state level, despite legislation being passed to top up reservoirs and change certain practices, just have been completely committing malpractice. This is a lot of the fires are not preventable, but the damage, a lot of it is.
Ilya, have a happy new year. We can still say happy new year. We went over that a couple of days ago. We think it's okay to say happy new year to people that we haven't spoken to all the way through the end of January. So I'm going to put that under the qualification. You have a great week and a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
All right. You too, Mark.
All right. Take care. Hey, one of the things I should have maybe asked Ilya this question, because it's on the screen right now. If you look at the funeral, you'll see the gathering of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. Joe Biden was there, Kamala, the first gentleman. But Trump was sitting next to Obama. And I don't even see Michelle there. I don't think that she's there. We have Mrs. Bush and Melania there. So they started talking to one another, right? And they're going back and forth. And everyone wants to know what they say. So there's been a lip reader that has gotten involved
here. Oh, really?
And this is Colin Rugg, who does some great stuff on Twitter. And Sean Spicer retweeted this too. It says, Trump told Obama, this is the best that they're coming up with, and I'm being serious, this is the analysis right now. Trump told Obama that he had to find a quiet place to speak with him regarding an urgent, quote, matter of importance, according to the New York Post. The revelation was made by forensic lip reader Jeremy Freedom. Trump, now he kind of doesn't have every word, but Trump says something like, I pulled out of that, it's the conditions, can you imagine that? And there's a few other things that Trump says, like he says, call me at the foy, and they don't know exactly. And then I can't talk. Trump says, I can't talk. We have to find a quiet place sometime. This is a matter of importance, and we need to do this outside that we can deal with it, certainly today. So I don't know what that was, but that is interesting, and we'll have to see. But they were yucking it up, having fun. Kamala kind of gave him the side eye at one point because they seemed to be having a little bit too much fun at the former president's funeral. But that was fascinating today. We're coming back with Dave Murray, the very latest on the fires, and we got more snow heading our way. Well, we have Dave Murray, who's become a regular part of the show this week because of the fires in California, back with us this afternoon. Dave, hello on this Thursday. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Let's start with our snow, just because the roads around here are still bad. I mentioned I drove on Olive last night, Dave, and you would have thought that they hadn't had one plow on that damn road. It really has been troubling here. So now we got more on the way, right?
We have another one. It's nothing like the one that we're coming out of, because the other one was sleet and snow, and that's what made it so hard to move and still making it hard to move. This is going to be a little bit of a dry snow, not quite like a Rocky Mountain snow, but close, drier than we typically see. So, as a result, the amounts are creeping up a little bit on us, but the prime time is going to be from about 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning on Friday up until about noontime. It's kind of in and out pretty quickly. I still like an overall brush of 1 to 2, but we're probably looking at closer to the 2 inches. And then you get across southeast Missouri and southern Illinois, and the amounts could be 5 or 6 inches there, but also a dry snow.
I feel like we did maybe make a little progress today just because it was sunny, and it's not sunny anymore. The sun's about to go down, but it was warm, and I think the ice got a little mushy and was able to clear for some of the crews out there just in time. So maybe we got a little lucky today.
Right, and we're going to see temperatures get above freezing over the weekend, especially on Sunday, and that will help. But this, yeah, roads that have been cleared, this will be a snow that will be really easy to handle. And it's all snow, so if they get out and pre-treat a little bit, it becomes even easier to handle. But you never know. You never know if they're going to pre-treat a road or not.
So, Dave, as you're talking, Sue points up to the television. Every time we look at the screen and we see more devastation, look, 24 hours ago when we talked, we knew it was bad. But then this morning, I started seeing the overhead shots of Palisades and just gone. You see Malibu,
just gone.
Some of these homes on the ocean, just gone. We see more images this afternoon, these fires still kicking up. So this isn't quite over, is it?
No, the two big fires, the Palisades fire and the Eaton fire, are still 0% contained. The winds are still, as far as across L.A. County, the winds are still strong. They're not like they've been over the last 48 hours or so, but they're still in the 30 to 40 mile per hour range. So they're still driving. In most circumstances, the winds that caused all these fires, that sparked all these fires, it was a critical Santa Ana event. Everybody knew it was coming. You can't do much about it, but everybody knew it was coming. This, now, the day later, would be considered a light to moderate Santa Ana, but because the fires are already burning and they're 0% contained, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's light or moderate. They're still going to be blowing. And, yeah, the video, they were able to get the news choppers up and some of the surveys crews up because the winds were a little bit lighter today and continue to be a little bit lighter. And it's just, I mean, it just brings back Maui right away.
Well, for me, yeah, we talked about this, Dave. You know what I thought about when I saw Pacific Palisades is I thought about Joplin in the F5 because it times 20, maybe times 20, right?
Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, at least with even, I know people died in the Joplin thing, and I think the death toll's up to 5 here. The one good news is that there was warning. You didn't have a lot of warning, but you knew that this event was going to happen. And if a fire got going, it was going to cause a lot of problems and continues to cause a lot of problems. But it is, just like Maui, it's going to take 20 years to rebuild some of these areas.
And, you know, Dave, I was talking about this. There's so many things that are at play here. You can't breathe if you're outside. Maybe people,
right?
Even if your house isn't burned down, you might not have power. You might not have water. You got kids that won't have school. They're going to be confused. Sue and I always think about the pets and the animals and the deer. I don't know how you even begin to have an adjuster to come in and, you know, make a call and handicap some of the insurance issues. And you can speak to this as well. Now there's more vegetation that's been burned off. So that means when it does rain, mudslides.
Right. Yeah. It all depends on terrain. But one of the reasons this has been such a brutal fire is that we're coming off of 3 very wet winters. So the vegetation was pretty intense. A lot of new growth. And now that we haven't had rain in, about 8 months or so, that new vegetation is drying out. And so it becomes an instant spark.
Hey, Dave, I'm going to go back to our snow event tomorrow.
I figured you would.
Oh, that's okay. That's important.
Because essentially you're saying it's morning rush hour, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, again, it's like 4 or 5 a.m. up until about noontime. And that puts the rush hour right in the middle of it.
Okay. But if it's the dry stuff, if a road is already treated, does it just kind of blow around, or is it the kind that, you know, we're getting enough that it actually will accumulate on a highway?
I think there'll be some accumulation. There'll be slick roads. It's not a real windy type situation with this thing until the storm gets by, and it's pretty far south. So I'm not overly concerned about wind, but it's, you know, Sue, you know better than anybody else that sometimes a snow like this, a 2-inch snow, can just cause havoc.
It can.
In St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
People get confident saying, this is fine. This is nothing like the last snow. And then everything gets gridlocked.
Yep. pretty much. I'm wondering if they're going to call school, Mark. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think they will, because it's going to happen overnight. So I think they would have to. And I hope that they clear the
fair amount. It will be snowing. Yeah, when those decisions have to be made, it will be snowing.
Yeah.
And you're coming off the latest storm. And a lot of these schools do build a few days in. It's not like they're going to push the year. There's usually 4 or 5 days built in. So it's like, oh, you know what? It's Friday. Let's just call it.
Yeah, but it was Friday. It was also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, today. Yeah. I have at least a little texting arrangement and email with the principal of our school, Dr. Starnes, and I said, hey, my offer to her yesterday was, hey, if you're going to be off school, would you mind just taking my daughter for a few days off of my hands? Because she'd love to hang out with you. All right, Dave Murray, we'll see what tonight brings us, right?
You got it. And tomorrow morning.
All right, we'll talk.
Thanks,
good luck,
Dave.
Right,
see you
Thank
later.
You,
yeah,
Dave.
We'll see what happens. That's man, there's just all kinds of stuff happening, right?
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. Usually we get the big snow, and then it melts, and then we get the next one. A double up I'm not in the mood for.
Well, and I don't want to go too easy, because I think there's some serious questions about MoDOT and the way that some of this is handled, especially after being on Olive last night and hearing some of the things in Chesterfield. However, one thing that I will say, and I think a microcosm of all the things on the roads, is really our own driveways. Now, you don't have a driveway because you live in the city,
but
the streets are the same
alley.
Way. Right,
yeah.
So you can't really plow through because there's so much ice,
yep.
And there's nowhere to put it, even if you have a plow that goes through there. So I get that this is a little unique because the snow piled up so high and it wasn't melting. That makes it more challenging. But yeah, it'll take an inch and a half tomorrow. We'll be paralyzed again. That's my anticipation. We'll see. You might have Alexa Reardon doing Sue's News with you tomorrow, Sue. That might my anticipation. She might be a roundtable panelist, too. We're coming back after 5.
Get more at 971talk.com.